Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
And Jason.
Remember the Beach Boys?
I do.
Remember the song I Get Around?
Yes.
TJ Holmes.
yeah.
TJ Holmes.
Who knew?
Who knew? I talked to somebody. Actually, they emailed me early this morning. Early. And I did not know this, but it's somebody who worked at CNN. Back in the day, this was in 2007 at the CNN Center in Atlanta. TJ Holmes was working there. I think he started in 2006. And the buzz in 2007 was who TJ was dating then. TJ Holmes was dating Chili.
From TLC.
Chili, who now is with Matthew Lawrence, which became a huge story that they're dating and that they're in a serious relationship now. And obviously, TJ's with Amy Rohrbach. But TJ dated Chili.
I haven't thought about Chili. TLC is one of my favorite albums, musical groups from when I was a kid. I have not thought about Chili in probably 10 years. All of a sudden, she comes up. A lot of people have.
She's super popular.
All of a sudden, she comes up dating with two different romance stories in the last day. It's incredible.
So let me tell you what I've been told. So back in 2007, TJ had just filed for divorce from his first wife, and he dated her and was all around the CNN Center with her. People at CNN saw it, and they were very affectionate with each other. Mm-hmm. People were talking about it, obviously, because Chili was so famous. And how long they dated depends on who you talk to. People I spoke with connected to TJ say, and this is directly connected to TJ, say it was a year. People directly connected to Chili say it was just a couple of months.
But those things aren't mutually inconsistent, right? I mean, what does dating mean? You know, how long do they know each other? It could be that he viewed them as more, in hindsight, as more dating for a year. But in fact, the real relationship only lasted a few months. That's consistent.
That's probably consistent. So, look, what's interesting about this is, this was close to when he filed for divorce. Because the time frame is murky depending on who you talk to. And I'm not suggesting anything other than it was close. And now what has come out, and I think this is kind of interesting, is that the lawyer for the woman that he is currently divorcing, TJ is currently divorcing, the lawyer came out and blasted TJ this morning on Daily Mail and said that the way he has been conducting himself so publicly with Amy, because they are very public,
yes,
and especially after they got suspended from GMA,
yes,
they have been, you know, together, holding hands, kissing down in Miami. They are fully a couple, and they are showing the world that. It is enraged his soon-to-be ex-wife. The lawyer says that they find it disrespectful, they find it tawdry,
and they have young kids.
They
as
have
well,
a
right?
9-year-old. Uh-huh. The marriage was. I think they have either the marriage lasted not 12 years and the kid is 9, or
the marriage lasted nine
and the kid is 12.
It's 12 and 9. They got married in 2010, so that would be a 12-year marriage. I believe the kid's
and
9.
The kid's 9 years old.
Yeah,
and the lawyer was just blasting him. So here's my question to you. You are married with kids.
Yes.
At a point, does somebody have a right to live their life even though they're with kids? And he is clearly in love with Amy.
Clearly.
And, you know, does he hide that from the kids, or can he show that and explain it to the kids?
Yeah.
You tell me.
If you accept the axiom that our first responsibility is to our children, he is not presenting himself as if his first responsibility is to his kids. And I'm not even judging him for it. Maybe he doesn't buy into that axiom. But he is acting like a man who is very much in love and has turned his back very quickly on his wife and his kids. Not to say he's not being a present father.
What do you mean turn his back?
He is, by publicly sort of flaunting this relationship, which, you know, I know they say it began after the estrangement with his current wife, but there's a lot of people who dispute that.
Okay, but let's make the assumption that's true.
If you make the assumption it's true, even then it would be nice to... Well, I want to get back to that assumption for a second.
Okay, I mean, we can get back to it.
Even if you assume it's true, it'd be nice if they weren't quite so public about it. Given that the 9-year-old kid is seeing all these reports, is definitely going through it at school. It's kids are mean. Kids, especially elementary/middle school kids, are mean. There's no question that this kid is suffering a little bit as a result of this. If nothing else, kids desperately want their parents to be together, no matter what the nature
they're
of the
relationship. They're not going to be together whether they make it secret or public.
Right, but to make it so public, to flaunt it, you know, the kid is seeing these photos. I'm sure he's, you know, adept in Google searches and can find out what his father is doing. And Can I ask you something? Yes.
What you're saying is... You keep a Band-Aid on and the wound is not necessarily healing. Why not just rip the Band-Aid off?
Well, because if you slow play it for a kid, you know, if you that's why you have talks with kids about
mommy and daddy. But doesn't slow play create more pain?
I don't think so.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you slow play, a kid is going to feel this for years.
No, the kid's going to feel the trauma. The trauma is what you're trying to avoid, that instantaneous trauma. I mean, there's trauma that comes with divorce anyway.
The instantaneous trauma is we're getting divorced.
But... Well, maybe, but it's also like the allegations that you're cheating on mom. Mom is crying.
I don't want to shelve that thing.
Because even if it's not true, it's the perception that the kid has. The kid doesn't know.
Okay, the reason I'm asking you to do this is because, look, if the kid really believes there was cheating and that becomes relevant to the kid or whatever else, it doesn't matter whether. That he's public with Amy or private with Amy. What I'm saying is, we don't know what the overlap is.
Correct.
And nobody does. Everybody's speculating about that. Just for the purposes of this, let's assume that TJ and his wife said, our marriage is over, and then he started a relationship with Amy.
Okay.
If that's the case, why not? Because, look, there are different levels. It's like a kid says, oh, my God, my parents are getting divorced. Maybe they'll be back together. And the divorce itself creates trauma. And then all of a sudden the kid finds out that dad has a girlfriend. It creates a second trauma. Why not get it over with at the beginning? Yeah. I know it's tough.
Yeah.
But isn't it better for the kid to kind of have that acceptance, even though it's so disappointing and disheartening, where he's not like praying, oh, maybe they'll get back. Dad's got a girlfriend now and he's in love with her. They're not getting back. At least the kid can deal with it.
It's not the girlfriend that's the problem. It's the public flaunting of the girlfriend that's the issue. It's the fact that it is an embarrassment for him and going. I mean, we don't know, but assuming that he's suffering a little bit, you know, with friends and with peers, and it's embarrassing for him, and he doesn't want to talk about it, and the other kids sort of make reference to it. It's all there. And look, if I was in this situation, where my wife and I were divorcing, and I was with a new woman, and assuming I was as famous as TJ is. I would be more circumspect about it. I would be more quiet about it. I don't think there's a reason why they need to be holding hands walking down the New York City streets every single day.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Doesn't Amy have kids?
She does.
Why aren't we talking about her?
You raised the TJ Roark thing.
Well, no, because is it the same?
It is. Her kids are older.
They're a little bit older, but is it the same? I mean,
it can be. I am worried about the age of the kid. He's very young, of TJ's kid, and I think Amy's a little bit older.
I think a 13-year-old will take it harder than a 9-year-old.
Well, a 13-year-old also maybe, but able to process it better and understand, give perspective to it, and understand that a lot of people go through this and etc. 9-year-olds are completely monomaniacal.
You know what? 9-year-olds go to school where half the kids are the product of divorced families.
Have you done a study of their elementary school?
I've done a study of half the people who get married get divorced.
That stat is fiction, by the way.
No, you know
that stat is fiction, by the way. That's one of these.
Okay,
that's
we'll
one of
get
these
in.
Stats. Oh, let's not get into that.
We'll get it later.
But yes, look, we were talking about TJ. If she is absolutely flaunting it just as much as he is, she also has
but
kids.
Nobody's
talking about her. That's true. That's true. Men do get a slightly more jaundiced eye looked at them, pointed at them, than women do
Why
with these
is
kinds
that?
Of things. Because men are usually perceived, and maybe it's true, and maybe it's not in this case at all, although given his reputation, it seems like that this sort of feeds into it. But men are perceived
what do you
as
mean,
the
reputation?
Aggressor. He's got a reputation, right? I mean, he's
a good-looking guy who's had a lot of girlfriends.
But there were rumors that he had been dating somebody else.
Rumors.
Well, I mean, you know,
but come on.
He's a player. He seems to be a player. And by the way, one thing.
He was married for 12 years.
So the three women that we know of that he's been with, Chili, Amy, and then his wife who's five.
Well, two wives. No. He was married.
They all have a very similar look, by the way. They're all different races, the whole thing. They are all very girl next door. I don't know if you've looked at them. There's no sort of differentiate. If you were to take them and color match them, because I know everybody is hypersensitive to races and everything, they are all very similar, sort of doughy-eyed, very pretty, all incredibly similar. I was struck by that. I was looking at the three pictures today. I'm like, good God, they all look exactly the same.
And your takeaway is what?
He's got a type.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
Are you jealous? Yeah.
Well, no, I've got a wonderful wife and children at home. And
why are you?
No, I'm not jealous at all. Not jealous. No. Are you kidding?
Okay, I want to go into one other thing. We got a couple minutes left, and I want to talk about something. So, at the time we're doing this podcast, the Congress is completely derailed. And they need a speaker for anything to happen, and McCarthy isn't getting the votes.
Can we talk about that for a second? I was unaware of how much you needed the speaker for. You can't do anything in the House of Representatives.
Anything.
No legislation will pass if they don't pass
you
for
4 years.
You
know why you're unaware of this? Because
it's never happened in
100 years. Yeah. That's why you're unaware.
Yeah.
So they need a speaker, but Kevin McCarthy wants this job desperately, has wanted this job forever. Mm-hmm. So now it's getting worse for him rather than better because more people are defecting. So Kevin McCarthy right now is staring down the barrel of a possible Jim Jordan speakership. And he doesn't want that. And a lot of other people don't want that either. And I would assume just about every Democrat, if they had to pick, would choose McCarthy over Jordan.
Yes, they would.
Okay. So why – and maybe this is happening. But it just seems to me – and I know, look, it hasn't happened in 100 years – that Democrats should be going to McCarthy right now. Hakeem Jeffries should be going to McCarthy and saying, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
And you give us five chairmanships or whatever the number is, and, you know, give us this, give us that. Let's horse trade a little bit, and we'll get you 30 votes so you'll be cushioned and you'll get the speakership. Why wouldn't he do that if he knows he's never going to get 218 votes from the Republicans?
So it's an interesting question. So is it in the Democrats' interest to create a deal where McCarthy is speaker and they get something through the horse trading, or to allow the Republicans to disassemble into, you know, a puddle?
There's going to be a speaker.
Well, I'm not sure.
No. They've all said there will be a compromise candidate.
Yeah.
Now, it could be Scalise. It could be Jordan. If it's Jordan,
it won't be Jordan.
It
won't be Jordan. There are enough Republicans who will never vote for Jim Jordan. He is crazy.
I get it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's possible.
Okay.
And if it's possible, it would be a nightmare for the Democrats, right? Yes.
Yeah, a nightmare for the
country.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And for nothing we'd get done, yes.
And even Scalise, who is more moderate
than Jordan, but not as moderate as McCarthy,
right.
Considered more right-wing.
So why isn't McCarthy, who only wants this job, more than life, it seems,
yeah.
Why isn't he making deals with the Democrats and saying, let's just sneak in there on the next vote, and all of a sudden, I'm speaker, I will give you, and then it becomes bipartisan.
Yeah.
which actually would be good for Congress, where they could say, look, we're actually working together.
The reason is, and I agree with you, look, McCarthy's a hell of a lot better than Jim Jordan for the Democrats, a hell of a lot better for the country, a lot better than Jim Jordan. For the Democrats, a lot better than Steve Scalise, et cetera. The Democrats have a bigger play, though, and that is there are far more left-leaning Republicans in the House than Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy was a Trump apologist,
right?
And he's a mainline conservative, establishment conservative. So he doesn't have.
But he's the best they're going to get.
Well, I'm not sure that's true. There are left leaning,
like
true centrists.
Who could get this that would be left of McCarthy?
There are true centrists, and I wish I had their names here, but I've been reading a little bit about it. There are true centrists, Republican centrists, and there is a movement afoot. You have, so the way it works, right, every single person, all 435 in the House get a vote. You need 218. Currently, Hakeem Jeffries has 210, something along those lines. So you just need
they're not going to make him speaker.
They're not going to make Hakeem Jeffries. I agree with that. The Republicans would rather torpedo the whole thing.
Right.
But there are a group of four or five or six really left-leaning moderate Republicans there. And I think that's what the Democrats have their eye on.
They
will compromise on these, not McCarthy.
But there are 20 that defected. It's not enough.
You only need five. You only need five Republicans to vote with the Democratic
bloc.
Well,
no, you only need... Well, yes, but who are the Democrats? Who are you talking about?
So the theory would be there are this. I wish I had their names. A very small group of moderate, true centrist Republicans.
And if you're right, and if there is somebody who is left of McCarthy that is more palatable to the Democrats, and they make a deal with that person and bring on five others, and all of a sudden that happens, that makes sense. All I'm saying is, in principle, why aren't the Democrats wheeling and dealing and horse trading right now, whether it's the way you say with another moderate other than McCarthy or with McCarthy himself, to avoid the prospect of somebody to the right of McCarthy?
Do you think that maybe some of the answer to your question is if this horse trading gets out, if McCarthy has seen horse trading, by the way, he's dead. He still really wants his job, thinks he still has a path, whatever.
Oh, this would all have to be in secret.
It would have to be in secret.
And that happens all the time.
It does. But if it got out that he was negotiating with Democrats, it would torpedo him. And frankly, that would be the Jim Jordan miracle, right? That all of a sudden we're going to coalesce around the true Republicans.
It has to be done in secret. You have a vote, and all of a sudden you stun everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. But that happens in Congress all the time. Yeah. People get stabbed in the back there all the time. It is common practice in D.C. to do that. And why not?
And to the point, I mean, you only need a few, right? McCarthy's currently getting about 203 of the 218 votes he needs. He only needs about 15 Democrats.
Well, he lost 20 in the last vote.
Well, he's 20, but he starts with a 5 vote advantage, right?
So he needs 15-ish. I know, and he's not going to get that right now.
He's not going to get that from Republicans. I think that ship has sailed.
I think one way or the other, the Democrats should horse trade.
Yeah, and they probably are. Nancy Pelosi is nothing if not a sophisticated negotiator, and Hakeem Jeffries, I don't know anything about him.
Well, I think he's
a smart guy.
He's in charge.
He's certainly in charge.
It's not going to be Nancy. She's not going to do that. She'd be undercutting him.
No. With his imprimatur, I think it all has to come back. That it's going to your point. It's going to be if that deal happens, it's going to be shared power in the House.
Right.
And that's which is why Kevin McCarthy can't do it. If he did it. And it comes out even after the fact what he's promised, and it will, because Democrats will hold it to him publicly. It's devastating for his speakership. It's just devastating.
You know what? He is going to be the weakest speaker.
No matter what happens.
No matter what happens. I don't know. Listen, if he's just banking on Republican support, he can't survive, because every day there's going to be a threat by the right wing of the Republican Party. Every day there will be a threat against him. He can't survive just with Republicans. His only play is to bring Democrats in and to make the right wing of the Republican Party irrelevant to his speakership.
Yeah. David Axelrod, who's the smartest man, political man in any room that he's in, said yesterday something to the effect of, if Kevin McCarthy thinks it's going to be hard to get a speaker to become speaker,
wait until he tries
to govern.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm saying do it with the Democrats.
Got to have a coalition, right? A parliamentary coalition.
You've got to make Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bobart irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
And if you don't do that, you're going to fail.
Does he make Donald Trump irrelevant in the process?
I hope.
Because Donald Trump came out and said, just support me. Don't.
No, he said, then he said, maybe.
I thought it was.
No, Donald Trump's loyalty is about that deep.
Oh, no, it's very deep to Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah. Okay, we will see you.